Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Amen. Say, have a vision. Say, I have a vision. Even if you don't, just say it. Say, I have a vision. Because now is the time to craft your vision. God has given Anna a vision, as Pastor Kim just mentioned. Our vision is actually never been re-articulated after the police came several years ago. We never re-articulated it. We kept with the same vision. We just moved our efforts out of China. However, as we begin to pray about what is the particular vision of our Mongolian church, what's the vision of the ANF church, what's the vision of the ANF organization worldwide, we began to see that we need different strategies. So she began to open up to you our basic strategy. And I want to say something about vision, and I would like you guys to write it down. We must know how a course of action fits into the overall plan that God has for our lives if it is to thrill our souls with a sense of destiny. Amen. I read this in the book. So I first read this when I was in Bible college, and it was so good. I highlighted it, I circled it, and I typed it up, and I printed it, and I put it on the wall of my house. So I would definitely suggest you memorize this. I have memorized this in 2002, and now it's 2020, so count that. Hallelujah, North American. 20 years. I can count that one myself. Amen. 2002 to 2020. It says, we must know how a course of action fits into the overall plan God has for our life if it is to thrill our soul with the sense of destiny. The reason why people live without energy, without excitement, without joy, is because they don't know why they're going to work every day. They have no idea of why they have to wash the dishes, wash the clothes, get out of bed and take a shower and wash that dirty booty. They have no idea why. Why they ought to iron their clothes. They have no idea. So they look like a swamp, dress like a swamp, act like a swamp, because they have no vision. Amen. When you know how your daily routine fits into God's overall plan, your soul will be thrilled with the sense of destiny. That's why Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, has sold so many copies. It's because people have no energy. They're not energized. They have no contentment. They have no satisfaction in their life because they don't see how their daily routines fit into overall plan that God has for their lives. So we need to know, why am I working? Why am I grinding it out? Why am I doing all these things? What does this have to do with the big picture? Where am I going? Why is what I'm sacrificing today, what is that going to result to me tomorrow? And when we understand those things, we could be very happy in our sacrifice. We could be happy in getting out of bed, washing the dishes, going to the gym, going to work, working overtime, because we see how it fits into God's plan for our lives. Do you hear me? When we have a vision, we live with focus and we live with discipline. Hallelujah. Amen. So All Nations International Church, if we could get that slide on the board of All Nations, we have a vision. And our vision is what Sister Pastor Kim wrote in Acts chapter 2. It says that they were steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines in fellowship, and in prayers. This is the vision. So if you look at our name, All Nations International Fellowship, within the name of our church, it casts the vision of this ministry. Pastor Kim has explained to you why the ministry needs to have a vision. We can't build the ministry upon a good singer, upon a good preacher. If you're Stephen Furtick, you can sing it, make the church around a good preaching, if you like that kind of screaming. If you're John Piper, you can build your church around a good teacher. If you're Hillsong, you could build your church around a good band. But all of those things actually, you know, a good performance styling or a good theological explanation or good, you know, music band, all those things are not the weightier things. The weightier things are the fellowship. It's the doctrine of the apostles. It's prayer. Those are the weightier things. And while I'll enjoy some chunks of fat on my young rochoir, I learned that from the Chinese. Because I used to take my young rochoir, and I would eat the meat, and I would spit the fat out. Or when I got married, I'd take the fat off, give all the fat to my wife, and I would just eat the meat. Because Chinese like the fat. Well, I realized why Chinese like the fat, because it tastes so good. Amen. So now, after I realize this, I enjoy the fat with the meat. Hallelujah. And the good music and the stylish preaching and the lights and the dancing and the fun and the things that the churches have, that's the fat, and it tastes good, and it's okay to enjoy that. But if you only have a diet of fat, you'll be like that person that Pastor Alan DeDio said was starving to death. This fat girl went to the doctor sick. And they told the fat girl, "You're starving." And she said, "How could I be starving? I'm 300 pounds. She said, "Because," the doctor said, "because you have no nutrition. All you eat is Doritos and Snickers and Coca-Cola and McDonald's. You have no vitamins. You're dying of starvation, even though you're stuffing your cake hole." That's what they call it in London, a cake hole. Amen. Because you're stuffing your cake hole with non-nutritious foods, you're starving. You're fat, but you're starving. I'm fat, but I'm healthy. Hallelujah. Amen. I go to the gym. I work out. I exercise. Hallelujah. I got vitamin A, B, and C. Glory to God. Amen. Because my wife forces me to eat my vegetables. I was out having pizza the other day with the right, and I ordered a salad. They said, "What's the salad for?" I said, "To make my wife happy." See, even though you're not around, I still want you to be happy. Amen. I had a salad for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So I like to enjoy the fat. The fat's okay, but you can't build a sustainable ministry on fat. Kenneth Hagin prophesied, and he told Oral Roberts and William Branham, and he told Jack Coe, and he told all the miracle workers of the 60s and 50s, he said, "You can't build a ministry upon miracles. You can't build it on signs and wonders." And that's the mess that we have all over Africa and Nigeria and in South Africa. We have all these ministries based upon miracles. And I saw one lady, she got the same healing at four different churches. The same lady. You know who I'm talking about. She got the same miracle in four different churches. I said, "Lord Jesus." I guess she like backslid and got, you know, her arm got deformed because she sinned. And then she got healed again, then sinned. And no, actually, it was a scam. Amen. It was a scam. The pastors paid her to do this fake miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't build a ministry around miracles. And some of the guys that paid for that, like Lukou, is that his name? Lukou? Alf Lukou, who paid to have a fake resurrection. A lot of these guys have had real miracles in their ministry and had genuine miracles, but because they built their ministry around the fat, and they, when God didn't move, they had to produce a fabricated fat, a synthetic fat. Which we're praying for Nikos for the science to come up with the synthetic animal fat for you so you can enjoy the fat. Amen. Nikos is our vegan, for those of you who don't know. Amen. So they make synthetic fat. Amen. But Kenneth Hagin prophesied, if you build the ministry on the word, on doctrine, he said, you will last. And that's what he did. And he has a world, he's dead for many years, but still has a worldwide ministry that's still expanding because they built it on doctrine. Amen. So here in China, we said we want to focus on doctrine, fellowship, and prayer. So the very first foundation of our particular sermon, service or church, is all nations. Say all nations. This is the first DNA point of our church. It's all nations. When I speak about DNA, DNA is a substance that carries genetic information in the cells of the life form. So this is the substance that will carry the DNA substance. Amen. And whether you're here for a year, 2 years, or 5 years, whether you leave and you are a part of All Nations Fellowship and community, living back in your home country, you should have these characteristics that you believe in. And the first one is All Nations. All Nations means multiple ethnicities. Can you say multiple ethnicities? Thank you. Acts 17, it said in 26, and God hath made of one blood all nations. That's where we get our church name from, All Nations. He has made of one blood all nations. Truly, Nelly is Greek, but we both come from the same blood. His name is Genghis Khan. Hallelujah. Well, you know, they say he's one of the capital heads. Science has found that there's two or three capital heads. That means that there's about three people in world history that most of the population of the world have come from. One is Genghis Khan, and I think it might have been two or three. But the other one, they termed his name Adam, because they don't know who he is. They said he lived about 6,000 years ago or whatever. No, they said millions of years ago, but they call him Adam. So their carbon dating, whatever, is off. But we know that there is a capital head. Science has found out that all people came from one blood. So you might be black, I might be brownish, she might be pink, and him white. Hallelujah. But we all come from one blood. Amen. Amen. And this is the vision of All Nations Church, that we all come from one blood. All nations means multiple ethnicities. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 10, verse 35. Acts 10, 35. We must know how the overall daily activities fit into God's plan for our life, for our souls to be thrilled with the sense of destiny. Amen. Acts 10, 35 says this. In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with God. In every nation, whatever ethnicity you are, whatever country you come from, those that fear God and work righteousness are accepted by God. We all come from one blood. Ethnicity is healthy when it's celebrated. And ethnicity is unhealthy when it's divisive. Amen. Amen. Ethnicity is unhealthy when it's divisive. South Africa. South African tribes are killing Zimbabweans because of divisiveness. They feel that Zimbabweans are taking the jobs that they should have. Well, it's not my fault that they went to college and have a degree. Amen? Amen? Isn't that ridiculous? In every country you go, you have tribes, tribalism, tribes fighting each other. It's not just black and white and or Spanish. You know, I mean, it's Laotians against Laotians and so forth and so on. Uyghurs against the Hanzu, and it just goes on and on and on. Everywhere you go in the world, there is racism. Racism is not an American problem. It's not Donald Trump's problem. Amen. Racism is been here since the very beginning. So ethnicity is great. Different cultures is great when it's celebrated. But when it becomes points of division and divisiveness, that's when it is demonic. Amen. So we as all nations, we believe in gathering by language only if there's no common language understood. But we do not believe in gathering by race or ethnicity. We don't believe in a American church or a Ghanaian church or a Filipino church or a Greek church. We believe in having a language-centered service, because if the ministry speakers only speak one language and other people don't know that language, then you need to have some interpreters or you need to have a special service for that language, but not race-centered. Do you understand me? Say not race-centered. Amen. So if there's no common language that's understood, then we can have a language-centered service. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 8. We're talking about language. We're talking about ethnicities. Genesis 11. Language centered services, okay, but not racially centered, ethnic centered services. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1:1. It says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Move faster, please. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "To let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." That's how they made the bricks, they're burning them. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad up the earth, upon the face of the whole earth." Now let me interject here. They were building a tower, so it says it could reach into heaven. That does not mean that they were building a skyscraper, that they wanted to touch the cloud. These people had rebelled from God. They had walked away from the line of God's lineage, and they were into occultism and seances, human sacrifices, killing of babies, channeling spirits, and they were channeling demonic spirits, and these particular evil creatures, these fallen angels, were teaching them arts and crafts. If you read history, these fallen angels taught the women how to decorate their eyes and how to put on makeup to seduce men, and they were channeling spirits. So they were looking to build a temple whereby they could do sacrifices and they could channel demonic powers in the heavenlies. This is why God had to intervene. Next, please. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon all the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Amen. Amen. The bounds and the habitations that split us were a judgment of God. They were not the best of God. They were a judgment of God. The dividing of the language was in collaboration with the dividing of people. The dividing of language was in collaboration with the dividing of people. So now we have a different language. Now we form a division to now divide people. Do you see that? So the purpose of dividing the languages was to divide the people. It was a judgment because they were set out to do demonic things. This was a judgment, but God's intention was to have diversity in unity. That was God's intention, to have diversity in unity. The division of races and languages, the division of language was to divide the people. And that was a judgment of God. It was not God's intention. Do you hear me? Not a Korean church, not an African church, not a Philippine church. This is a curse. When we left the Korean church, the only ones that came with us was Joy and her family. Other Korean, Ki-hwan and his wife, Ki-hwan cried with us because the Koreans kicked us out and we had to leave. And we had one elder, Ki-hwan, he cried. Man, in tears. He said, I feel like I'm Anif. I belong to Anif. I'm an Anif member. But I can't leave my racial community and join a mixed community. It's a curse. Do you hear me? But we appreciate Joy so much. Because Joy said, I'm not black, not white, yellow. I'm not Asian. I'm not Korean. I am a Christian. I'm a child of God. And I'm going where God tells me to go. Amen. And that's why we applaud and are so proud of you. Amen. That you saw beyond race. But you have to understand the reason why there's in Korean culture there's a strong racial tension is because it's preservation. South Korea is on the border with North Korea, and it's a constant nuclear threat. And the land is so small, it's divided, they're under nuclear threat. That's why in the particular Korean community, there's a lot of pressure from the parents to marry another Korean. Now, I have heard African-Americans pressure other African-Americans not to marry outside of their race, which I think is foolish because the African-American race is mixed with many different ethnicities and they're not in danger of population. But when you get to a place like Laos with a small population, a diminishing population, South Korea with a small population with a nuclear threat, then I understand the need to want to preserve the race. I could appreciate when a Korean mother tells her child, you should marry a Korean. But when a Nigerian says you ought to marry a Nigerian, I say, hey, there's millions of you guys. Go and mix up, hallelujah. Amen. So I understand the need and the desire, and I believe it's a godly thing to want to propagate your race if your race is a particular minority that needs to be preserved. I understand that, and I actually support that. But when you're like me, you know, I'm Italian, Irish, German, Guatemalan, Norwegian. I'm 5 to 6 different races, and my kids are Chinese. So what am I going to tell my kid? Make sure you marry a woman who's German, Italian, Irish, Chinese. You know, they're going to have to marry their sister. Amen. I'm going to tell my son, boy, you got to mix it up. We don't have any black in you. Get you a wife from Ghana, hallelujah. We need a little more, you know, jambalaya, hallelujah. A little more, what, jollof. We need a little bit of jollof in this family, hallelujah. I'm tired of eating spaghetti every birthday, hallelujah. Marry a Ghanaian, amen. Amen. I'm not going to tell my kid to marry someone that's 6 different countries. Get another one, just like I did. Mix it up even more, amen. It's beautiful. But when you have a race, an ethnicity that is struggling from a small ethnicity, definitely I encourage you, marry within your ethnicity. Promote your music, your dance, your culture, your food. It's beautiful, but it's not beautiful when it's used to divide people because the dividing of people was part of the curse. Do you hear me? All nations multiple ethnicities. Language service is only needed because of the language difference. But actually, it's still not God's best. It's still part of the curse. Still part of the curse. It's not God's best. All nations means we believe in multi-ethnicity services. I'm not going to Philippines to start a Chinese church. I don't believe in starting a Chinese church, Italian, German, Irish, Norwegian. You know, I don't believe in that. I believe in this vision, all nations, multi-ethnicity church. Hallelujah. And if I opened up one in Accra, it wouldn't be for Ghanaians. It'd be for everybody. The Zimbabweans and the Botswanians and whoever else lives there. Amen. Liberians. Probably you don't have many Botswanians, but you got Liberians and so on that came over during the war. It'd be for everybody. Amen. If we have a multicultural service, that means more delicious foods, more different dresses, better songs. The BICF started an African service because they were so afraid of the tidy whiteys that would get turned off and not want to hear African rhythms and have African clothes and then say African prayers that they just said, why don't you have your little African service? That's racism. I'm glad Pastor Favor changed the name to the Anointing Overflow Ministries. Because the African service is a racist service. They wouldn't implement the Africans in the normal Sunday service because they're afraid to scare off the white people. I believe in mixing it up. Hallelujah. Having some of these white Hillsong songs where they don't know how to dance. You know, Hillsong, they don't dance. They just do this. Because white people don't know how to dance. So they do the white hop. Amen. But if you're like me and Mira, we know how to, you know, we know how to do the African dances. Hallelujah. Unless Agri shows up, then we're too shy to dance. Well, Mira's not shy. I'm shy. Amen. It's more beautiful. We want the Africans and the Greeks and the whites and the Asians to preach and sing and mix the foods and call. This is God's design. This is the picture of heaven. When you get to heaven, there'll be no Ghanaian church. There'll be no African outreach ministry. There'll be no Korean service. It'll be a multi-ethnicity heaven with songs and rhythms and sights and sounds and colors from all different races because this was God's intention. It's the fallen nature that causes tribalism. It's the fallen nature of man that causes tribalism. Tribalism is a behavior and attitude that stems from strong loyalty to one's social group, according to Webster's Dictionary. It is a behavior and attitude that stems from strong loyalty to one's social group. You go to college, whether you're white, black, Spanish, whatever. You go to the university. You grew up with all your own people, your own color, your own race, your own foods. And it's the first day of school. And the first thing that most people do is they just look for people who look like them and who sound like them, and they gravitate towards them, and then they become asphyxiated to that group. When God has sent you somewhere where you're going to grow, where you can meet new people, where you can build relationships internationally, where you can strengthen your weaknesses, learn a new language, try new foods, where you can expand your horizons, expand your mind and culture experience, but we limit ourselves. That's why I love Koku so much. He's an African from Ghana, but he wants to be friends with me from America and friends with Mongolian guys. And, you know, Koku's building a friendship and network of all different races and colors and all different countries. How are we going to be a better us if I only know people from Chicago? Matter of fact, Chicago people are quite ignorant. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Don't say amen. I'm from Chicago. I was testing you here. Only I can say that because I'm from Chicago. You can't say that. And if you go to Chicago, all the restaurants say the best hot dogs in the world, the number one gyros in the world, best cafe in the world. In Chicago, all the restaurants say the best in the world, the best in the world, best in the world. And the owners, am I right? The owners have never been anywhere else in the world. Because Chicagoans think that Chicago's the center of the universe. But even in Chicago, there's tribalism. Southsiders fight the Westsiders, and the Westsiders fight the Northsiders. And then there's racial division, and then there's division between Democrats and Republicans, and there's division between, oh, just any reason the devil could divide, he tries to divide. I want to have Republican friends, and Democrat friends, and Green Party friends, and Black friends, and white friends, and I want to worship shoulder to shoulder with every race, color, and creed, because this is God's intention. We are stronger when we're together, we're weaker when we're ethnic-centered. But ethnicity is beautiful when it's celebrated. So we have a Kwaba Sunday, and some of us got our, you know, our nice Ghanaian clothes, and if you bring some more Koreans, we'll have a Korean Sunday just to celebrate the culture, not to divide. Amen. So the first foundation of our vision is to be a multi-ethnicity church. If we open up another service in another language, it's not because of race. Simply because they don't understand the language we're preaching in. Amen. I had a lot of pressure from people in the Philippines to have a Philippine service. I said, no, we're not going to have a Philippine service. If we had a service for Filipinos, we would call it a Tagalog service. But nobody's allowed who speaks English. It's just an outreach we'll have for those who don't know English. But no, the Filipinos got to worship with the Africans. And they got to worship with the Greeks. And we have to come together because this is the intention of heaven. Amen? Amen? The dividing of ethnicities was a curse. All the ethnicities were all together as one. And when they were together as one, what did the Bible say? Nothing that they imagined to do could be withheld from them. Listen, if you don't have a Chinese in your church, you're going to be limited. Because every time a law comes up and there's no way to get around, Chinese always have a way to go around the law. Hallelujah. Am I right? You can't stop a Chinese church. It just moves over here. And then the police come in and they move over there. You can't stop the Chinese. Amen. There's not a law in the world that can stop the Chinese. Amen. They say you can't park here, so then they park over there. But they never stop, amen. When we come together, we're stronger. We're stronger than ever. The Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor black nor white. There's neither male nor female. But it says we are all one in Jesus Christ. Get out of here with your ethnic-centered services. That's not the kingdom. That's tribalism. It's division. It's racism and it's pride. All come from the same blood. God wants us to be together. Do you hear me? Let me end on this note. 1 Peter 2:9. We'll end here. All nations. Next, 1 Peter 2:9. I got a new Bible, so I have to take it for a ride a little bit before I get to know all of it. When you get there, say amen. Penny's taking hers for a ride too. Hallelujah. All nations. All nations. Pastor, do you believe in the sovereignty of nations and the divisions of borders? Yes, I do. I believe that Korea has the right to govern themselves. I believe that countries need to govern themselves. Amen. They need to be allowed to govern themselves. I do believe that. I do believe in borders. I don't believe in open borders. I do believe in nationalism, being proud of your country, building up your military, protecting your country. I do believe in those things. But I believe that I belong to another nation. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The word holy means set apart and sanctified for God. We belong to another nation. I have an American citizenship, but I am My loyalty lies to the kingdom of God. I have another king, and guess what? He never lies. Trump. Amen. But I can swear loyalty to one king, and one king only, and that's the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. My nation supersedes every nation. And whether I have a U.S. passport or give it up to become Filipino, which I won't do, amen, but don't matter. My wife is Chinese. I love China. I don't support U.S., and I don't support China. I support the nation that I belong to. It's a heavenly nation, a spiritual nation. I support the kingdom of God. There's issues in Israel. I support Israel's right to exist and defend themselves, but I don't support Israel's gay laws. I don't support certain policies of Trump. I don't support certain she policies like the blocking of Facebook. But I do like a lot of things that she has done too. So I could agree and disagree in every nation of policies, but who I support full-fledged is the superimposed, the superseding kingdom and nation, and that's the kingdom of God. I am a Christian citizen, a born-again citizen before U.S. Amen. I'm kingdom of God before I'm Latino. I'm not white. You guys think I'm white. I'm not. I'm legally Latino. Hallelujah. My father's 100% from Guatemala. Hallelujah. So I am Christian before I'm Guatemalan. I identify as a citizen of the kingdom of God from the nation of God's kingdom before I identify with being a Latino. Do you hear me? I don't see myself as Latino. I see myself as a king, as a priest, as a member of the kingdom of God, as a blood-bought, blood-washed, spirit-filled, water-baptized, fire-baptized believer. Amen. Amen. And the Italian in me is just a little bit of extra flavor. Hallelujah. The Irish in me allows me to drink green coffee on St. Patty's Day. Hallelujah. But that's not who I am. Who I am is the spiritual being, the born-again person. Amen. So, the church is a nation. And when we gather together, we are a nation. And we are a multi-ethnicity nation. Amen. And in this nation, God has made every color, every race, all cultures come from God. And we want to celebrate them and give equal access and equal celebration and equal honor and respect to every nation. That's why this church is called All Nations. Amen. And that is our vision here.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And through Him, you can turn from your way of doing things to His way. And His way is the right way, because He made you. And He made you for a purpose. And He knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.